You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Juan Hung. He's talking to me from Vietnam. Juan, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you. I'm ready to talk.
Okay. Well, very good. I know you're talking to me from Vietnam, and we're going to talk about your work, your poetry and translation. So tell me, what are you working on now? Can you tell me a little bit about your poetry and your translation?
Yeah. I am a poet and translator. I was born into an intellectual family with Western influence. So all the way of my poetry, I can see that the very big Western influence from French to American influences.
Hmm.
Yeah. I began to compose my first... Yeah.
Go on. You composed your first poem. Yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah. I began to compose my first poems when I was 11, and also translate poems from French language textbooks. And at 19, I appeared on the official scene, singing the patriotism and revolutionary romanticism in chorus, and became one of the poets so-called the anti-American war generation. But beginning in the late 1960s, I gradually split off from the choir, deeply anxious and doubtful about the fate of my nation. Later, through accurate when the Soviet Union and the world socialist camp disintegrated, I felt uncomfortable singing in the chorus. Here's what I wrote at the time. You told us to go forward, fighting for the singing future. You were in the first fighting row because you weren't afraid of death. And you were dead because you were afraid to be seen as cowards. But might you imagine that day in the future? Passages like the above with which the police found out at my home later became evidence of what the authorities called my deep root ideological decadence and helped bring me 30 months in a re-education camp in 1982. And the part of my poetry had a crucial turn when I moved from Hanoi to Saigon after the reunification of the country. And in Saigon, I had an opportunity to read a lot of philosophical and literary books sold at the low price on Saigon sidewalks at the time. And this results in the strange mixture of desire, pessimism, and despair, and a so-called Buddhist surrealism. Later on, when making acquaintance with contemporary American poetry, I considered that my poetic at the time have a similarity to those of the Beat poets, and indeed, I translated some of Allen Ginsberg's poems into Vietnamese. And I had acquaintance with Allen Ginsberg himself, and we have a close correspondence each other. And so the time, the jail time, I was imprisoned for 39 months because I had a manuscript of an elder poet, very famous poet, but he has been considered as the anti-revolutionary. And there was a suspicion that I would attempt to circulate this manuscript abroad. Unfortunately, this discovery led to other poems more problematic to the authorities. They found my own manuscript with the police, say that 100 times more reactionary than the manuscript of the elder poet. So it came my prison time. And after the prison time, I became a so-called existentialist poetry, who talk about the bad experience of human conditions like myself.
Which and is, of course, because you were coming out of, you're saying you're coming out of prison when you began the existential poetry.
Yeah. And so I have written many, many poems of my prison experience. And here is one of the most known, The Man Who Came Back. He came back from that far country to find his wife in tears all night and his children bewildered all day. He came back from that far country to see his friends turn pale at his apparition. He came back from that far country, and in the crowded street he feels shivers at the back of his neck. After a year, he is still choked in the midst of a body. After 2 years, he still wakes in a sweat from nightmares. After 3 years, a white lizard remains in his memory. After 10 years, he continues the habit of sitting alone in darkness. A day comes when he's tired of day staring. A night comes when a soft voice will question him. A tap on the shoulder startles him. And this poem is translated by myself and Joseph Buhmer, an American poet. And I can say that 20 years now, it turned out that I returned to a so-called a new classical spirit with the Zen flavor. When I spend time to a long trip to India and to the Himalaya zone, so my poetry, I think it's imprint with the Zen flavor. And one of these poems is translated by myself and Ellen Bass, an American poetess in Santa Cruz. The snowy mountain. one should wait for clear days to see the snowy mountains and rest of miles away. I had been waiting all season. The sky was always foggy, gloomy. On the road that leads to the mountains, guns were firing, cars burned. This morning, a pair of cranes fly by, bringing on their wings snow from the faraway mountains. And my poetry, after the renewal policy of the Communist Party of Vietnam, have been published a lot in Vietnam. But all the poems written about the jail experience not to be published in Vietnam. They refused 3 times to publish them. So I had to publish these poems online. And last year, I published in America with a bilingual book called Akmok, Nightmares. You can find it on Amazon.com. And they were acclaimed by my friends of the Academy of American Poets. I have a foreword by Alan Bass, chancellor of the Academy of American Poets, and including some comments by Allen Ginsberg himself, and former chancellor of American Poets, Robert Healy, the Black Mountain Poetry, and Alan Bass. And so, some words about my poetry, my own poetry. And for my translation, because I want a rare writer in my generation can read the Western language, like French. So I made the effort to introduce the Western poetry, the modern and postmodern, into Vietnamese. And I published a lot of works. And at the jail time, I taught myself English. It's very funny. I taught myself English with an English-French dictionary. And the newspaper from the Soviet Union, the Moscow News, to taught myself English. So you can see my English is not good enough. But I try to translate a lot of American poetry into Vietnamese to introduce the new trend for my colleagues in Vietnam. And my translation includes the French, like Apollinaire, Spain, Federico Garcia Lorca, and American from Wallace Stevens, Allen Ginsberg, Robert Thiele, Charles Simic, Louis Club, and the recent is a work from a Vietnamese-American poet, Ocean Vuong. It just got a big award from the C.S. Eliot Prize. And from Sweden, like Harry Martinson, Nelly Sachs. And so I know that the translation is poetry is very difficult because the musicality of the original text and the translation is different, very different. But I try to do it to introduce something about the new sense of the Western poetry into my readers in Vietnam.
And right now in Vietnam, you're still writing, you're translating, you're publishing online. How is the environment, the atmosphere? Is it more permissive now? Is it are you or other artists in political danger at all for continuing to write?
Yes, a problem. I continue to write and to translate, but mainly online. I just translate the same poem by the new the new acclaimed poet in America, the laureate. Poet laureate in America, but I mainly post it online because in Vietnam now my name is not appreciated by the government. And 5 years ago, I and some colleagues found an independent union of writers, of Vietnamese writers. Including in Vietnam and overseas Vietnamese poets from America, from Canada, from Germany, from France. And it is an underground union. So I, all the time I am harassed and obstructed by the Vietnamese police. But because maybe because I am old enough and had a name, so they don't. I think they don't put me in prison again. But they all the time harass me, follow me everywhere. Yes.
So there's still harassment, and it's not easy for you to continue to publish this online. They're following you. They see you still as a dissident, as a revolutionary, as someone who is working against the interests of the country. Yeah.
But thanks to the social network like Facebook, now you can publish everything you want. And the Vietnamese police not yet obstruct the Facebook totally, so you can post our writings or translations in the network. But publishing for myself, publishing my own writings is very difficult. Many times they refuse to publish my own poetry, but translation is okay. I just published some translation by Wan Thu Yit Man and by Ocean Vuong, a younger Vietnamese-American poet.
And you continue to do that as well, to translate and publish others. And even if the other writers that you're translating are somewhat are anti-establishment, isn't that also dangerous, or is that not considered so?
Now I see that the Vietnamese authority don't want to publish translation of the book anti totalitarianism, like the Orwell, like Animal Farm, like 1984.
Right.
Yeah, but the other writing, other books, not criticize directly the communist regime. Is okay. And last year, the Union of Independent Writers, we found, we gave a prize for the translation of 84 by Orwell, translated in Vietnam, but circulate underground and post in our website. The Văn Việt website is our own website who post everything the writers or translators did. But the police had obstructed the meeting of our colleagues to give the prize for the translator. So I see the Communist Party don't want anything criticized directly, the communist ideology, the communist regime, or totalitarian regime that they think is criticized themselves. That's so funny.
Well, I admire what you're doing, and I'm glad to hear that you continue to publish and translate. I want to ask you one more question, which I always ask everyone. What are you reading now in Vietnam?
Now in Vietnam, you mean the Vietnamese readers or myself?
Yourself. What books are you reading now? That your books you're currently reading.
Now,
it could be from Vietnam or America or anywhere, but yeah, what are you reading?
Now, I myself concentrate all my time to an attempt to introduce the new theory of education from America, because I'm a former teacher. And now, I see the system of education in Vietnam is so backward. Maybe 7 years, 70 years in the past of the world. Because the long time, they imitate the system of education of Russia, of Soviet Union, and they didn't know anything about the new theory of education in the Western country. So it's very dangerous for the younger generation of Vietnam. So I try to contribute to the introduction of the new theories of education from America, from France, and other countries. But I just published 3 books of education theory by Jean Piaget, from France, and I'm going to publish maybe some months later a book by Howard Gardner. It's an educational theorist of America, and now I will publish some works by Jerome Bruner, American also. And I, because I am now 77 years old, and I don't know how much time I can continue working. So I decide focus in this work.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your work and talking with you. Juan, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.